That's a bit scary.
Okay. Good evening, gentlemen. We continue in the Rambam Hilchas Chametz Umatzah, Perek Beis, Halacha Gimel, Chapter 2, Law 3, page in the Mosnaim text, page 26 and 27. We began discussing a mitzvah of Hashvasa, of destroying the Chametz. So, what was involved in that? We said removing it, different girsas in the Rambam, nullifying it, removing it, whatever, but that's on the biblical level. Halacha Gimel gives us the rabbinic level, which gets us all into the area of Bedikas Chametz, and that's going to be the next, for basically just about the rest of the Perek, how we do Bedikas Chametz, checking and searching Chametz. That's all rabbinic by nature. Because technically, if you nullify it, it's done. The whole point of Bedikas Chametz is to look for Chametz you don't see. That's the whole point. Right? We said what you do see, you throw it out. What you don't see, you nullify. So you should be finished. The answer is, you know, what's going to happen? You know, what if in the middle of Pesach, you picked up a drawer and you saw a big donut?
Oh, boy.
And then the Yetzer Hara says, it's been a long time since I had a donut. It's been 6 days. You may eat it, you know. You can even just pick it up and... but then you already picked it up. You took ownership of it. You've transgressed a number of errors. Rabbinically, we say, search it out. Look for whatever you don't find, because you better find it now than on Yontif. So now we're going to get into those laws. Umidivrei Sofrim, and based on the rabbi's laws, the mitzvah is lichapes, to search it out. And that is the actual bedikas chametz. Achar chametz, to search after the chametz. Where? B'machvaos, in hidden places. U'bachorim, and in holds. V'livdok, and to check. U'lahotzi mikol gvulo, and to remove it from its entire boundaries. And that is really the actual biur chametz, the burning of the chametz. And that's what the rabbis were strict. They were afraid about chametz, because since a person is used to whole year long, you may eat it if it's in your house. That's one thing, but in more than that, the Chaimi Divrei Sofrim, and also the rabbi said, Shabotkim umashbisin hachametz balayla. You search and you destroy that chametz. What do we mean by destroy? We mean by nullifying it, because there's different ways to destroy it, existentially destroy it or physically destroy it. So you do a nullification of chametz balayla at night. When? Mitchilas Leil Arba Asar, at the beginning of the night of the 14th. How do you do it? Leor Haner, to the light of the candle. Why? Why do we do it at night? Because at night everybody's home. They're not going to movie theaters. They're in the house. And the light of the flame is very good for the search, because in as opposed to the daytime, because a candle in the daytime makes things darker, not lighter. And here at the night, it's perfect light. We don't establish Torah learning at the end of the 13th, that's running into the night of the 14th, because, you know, let's say a shir or things like that, a half an hour before the nighttime, because you know you're afraid you may get carried away with your learning and not get around to it. And a Talmud Chacham privately, when he's learning by himself, he shouldn't start learning a half an hour before the time of Bedikas Chametz. Why? As he says, Shema Yimashech, he could get prolonged in it, V'yimana Bedikas Chametz B'tchilas Mana, and you will hold yourself back from doing the proper search at the beginning of the time, or you may not even end up searching at all. Dalit. And Bokim, when you do this search at night, you don't check Lola or Lavanam, not by the light of the silvery moon, Velola or Achama, not by the light of the sun, meaning in the day. Even if you're checking in the day, let's say you forgot to check at night and you're checking in the daytime. Still, you know, the sunlight is not the optimal way to do this. Velola or Havuka, and not to the light of a torch. Why? Because a torch is so fiery, you can't take it under your bed, could you?
No.
It can't go into a crack that's near combustible things. You know, go check between the curtains with the torch. Not a good idea. So since you know that's a dangerous thing, you're not going to check so well. So we don't use that. El Olior Haner, only to the light of a flame. Bamed, remember, when do we say this? When we're talking about Bechorim Mamachbos, with little holes and cracks and hidden places and things like that. Avalach Sadr, but a porch, Sha'orarav, that has a lot of light. The porches in those days, were, what am I looking for? Chavches. They have three walls and open on the fourth. So there's a lot of light. See, but kolor acham, if you check the porch to the sunlight, dayo, that would be enough. Bidiyevet, of course, lichatchil, you should have checked the night before. Ubeemtza chotzer, and what about in the middle of the chotzer, the middle of a courtyard? Ain't it certainly able to check it all? Why? The birds there all the time. They're gonna eat any chametz over there. You don't gotta worry about that at all. But that which is in the holes and in the sides of the chutzah, the birds don't go over there, and therefore you'd have to do a bedikah over there.
In your
halacha, hey.
Would we say a flashlight's okay today?
Yes. Now, the minhag, again, the minhag, remember this is the Shulam, the Rambam is giving us the nigla, the revealed law. Now, there's always the hidden mystical law behind it, and mystically, we do use a candle for the mystical reason, as we've said many times, because ner Elokim nishmas Adam, the flame of God is the soul of man. So really, when you're looking at that candle's reminding of your soul, and you're using your soul to clean out all your averos. Mm-hmm. So mystically, you want to use a candle to remember that, but you can assist it with a flashlight.
In other words,
you should light a candle. What I usually do is I light the candle and I look with the candle and I give the three boys flashlights and they're looking with the flashlights and I'm looking with the candle and they're finding the chametz and I'm not. Right. But that's fine and I'm, you know.
Isn't this whole thing about you're supposed to put 10 ones pieces in different rooms?
Yeah.
But I also think it's like shows you where your various might be.
I've mentioned that many times. That's right. So that's where the wife decides the spiritual weakness are. Because we know that the chametz represents the Yetzer Hara. So that's what you have to use. But certainly from a halachic point of view, based on the revealed law, a flashlight would be more than sufficient because it does a much better job than anything else. Hey,
is there something about a feather as well?
The feather is
and a wooden spoon.
That's all, you know, part of the mystical
like
traditions.
Stuff
same thing. Now, hey, chor shebeemtza habayis. What if you got a hole in the middle of the house, meaning in a wall? Okay, in other words, let's say you got the homes were connected, a townhouse, right? Where you've got a wall between your residence and the other residence, and there's a hole going through the wall. From clear through from your home into the other guy's home, or pretty far in. So what do we do? And it's in the middle, meaning the middle, not too high, not too low. I mean, something where you could put things in that area. So what do? So Zeb Bodek had Makam Sheromagas. So the guy on one side sticks his hand as far as he can go. And on the other side, Zeb Bodek had Makam Sheromagas. The other guy goes as far as his hand goes. Vashar, what about what you can't reach? Mevatlo Balibo. Nullify it in your heart. And because there could be a little chametz that may have gotten all the way, that rolled all the way there, and you just can't reach it. You don't have to use heroic measures to find it, because remember, what's the problem? You've nullified it. What's the problem? You might find a chametz. If my hand can't reach it now, it ain't going to reach it on Pesach either. However, listen to that. What if your name...
What's the name? Pacha's hands have reached further.
Okay, but that's only if you have Moshe Rabbeinu in the hole over there. Otherwise, you don't have to worry about it. Now, what if your neighbor is a non-Jew? Can you start sticking your hand in the middle of the night into the wall? If you got a hole between a Jew and a non-Jew, ain't a bite claw. You don't check it at all. Why? The guy will think he's doing black magic. You know what kind of business? It's the middle of the night and he's boom, 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 boom. He's checking over there. Ooh, there's ghosts, there's goblins, whatever. And he may come to make a blood libel. And we have enough trouble from them. They already think we're killing their Christian babies. So what are you sticking your hand in a wall in the middle of the night? So that's going to be very scary. Even in the day, you shouldn't do that as well. But others say, well, maybe in the day he's not going to think you're doing ghost stuff and whatever. Fine. Anyway, so what do? Just say, you know what? I'm nullifying it in my heart because I ain't even going to put my hands in there because the guy's going to think I'm crazy. Yeah. So you don't do it. Now another rule, any place where you generally do not put any chametz, ain't a tzarech bedikah, you don't got to check. And we're going to give all kinds of examples of that coming up. But a place where you know, I have no chametz over there. I never put chametz over there. Now, let's say you don't have kids. Do you think you have chametz in the boiler room?
No.
I was just thinking the furnace room.
You know.
Exercise room.
You never, if you know, you never put food in that room, you don't have little children. Right? So you don't have to check. What business do you have checking? You know, one of my mukhutanim, you know, she should be able to live long and healthy.
Amen.
Her house is kosher Pesach 12 months a year. Wow. She doesn't allow any chametz out of the kitchen finished. That's it. It just doesn't go out of the kitchen, period. And not only that, she doesn't even stay home for Pesach anyway. Okay? You know, it's like, when my daughter has to visit out of town, like tomorrow, like, it's all nervous. The three little bandits are coming and they're going to get chametz over the house. So, you know, if you don't have any chametz in other places, that's right. So you don't have to worry about that. It's only what we're, the only concern is if you'll find it on Pesach. But if you don't have it all year long, how are you going to find it on Pesach? Now he's going to give a number of examples of what you have to be concerned for or not in the next two halachas. Vav. Chayre habayis, the holes in the house. Hatachtonim, the ones that are very low, meaning lower than three tvachim. Vel yonim are the ones that are high, higher than your hand can reach. Those are the places that people do not, you know, put things over there.
They don't need to.
Okay? Again, with all of these cases, we're talking about they're not little children. Which normally an adult would not put some food in a hole that's very low. Now, a hole that's eye level, you might put something in that hole. But something very low, you're not going to bend down that low. And something very high, you can't reach, you wouldn't put there. So you don't have to check there. And other places, now they might not be as contemporary applicable as we would have today, but in the Rambam say they were. Vigaga Yetzia, the roof of a balcony, which is very narrow. It's a small room on the roof that's angled and you can't really do anything there, and it really serves very little use in those days. You know, like you could for us would be, let's say, the attic. Today's attics that we have, not the old-fashioned attics that you live in. You have an attic in your house. Now, do you ever put anything there?
No, you can't even go up.
You can't live there. Really can't live there, so you don't have to check the attic. Verefes Bakar.
There's a lot of checking there.
Verefes Bakar, and the only guy who ever went up my attic was a repairman once. There you go. Okay, now, Verefes Bakar and the stall for your animals. You usually don't have your salami sandwich there. Velulim and the chicken coop, Umasvein and the hayloft, the Otsros Yayin and storage places of wine, Verotsros Shem and storage places of oil. That, the condition is, Sheinim Istapek Bem. You don't take from them in the middle of a meal. If you know you never go to the wine cellar during a meal, then it's okay. You're not going to have to check it. So you're not going to have any salami sandwiches there. But if you go at other times, then you
and the big fish house.
Now, or Ubeis Dog and Golan, rooms where they store fish. Big, big, big fish they store there. And that usually don't go there during a meal as well. All these cases ain't Srichim Badig, you don't have to check it out. Unless you know for sure you have put chametz over there. What about storage places of beer and wine? That we do go during a meal. You generally do go during a meal and you get another bottle of wine or another bottle of beer. Or a place that has small fish, you're going to take small fish during a meal. Or a house, the place, room that's got wood, the woodshed, you may need to warm up the stove from the middle of a meal. I think a place where they keep salt or brine or stuff like that. I don't think the English.
What do you guys have in there?
Brine. Okay. V'chorei habayis amsoim, holes in the house in the middle. Ukiyesve, and similar things that you do make use of them during a meal. Shricham v'dika, they all have to have a bedika. Why? Shestam and shemachlisam chametz. Because generally you will bring chametz there in the middle of a meal, and you could leave some bread over there. However, even in these cases, but if you know with certainty you never brought chametz in these places, ain sarach bedika, you do not have to bedika in these places as well. Ukishabodik hamartef, and when you do check a wine cellar, and you do have to check, let's say it's wine, you do during a meal, how far you gotta check? You could have, 20 rows of barrels, 5 barrels deep, 5 barrels high, 20 across, you have to move 150 barrels, that's not an easy thing, so we don't require that. But rather, what you do is, bodik minishtei shuras achitzonos, you take the two outer rows, meaning shemel yonim shalmato, mimeno, the top nose, let's say the rows are 5 deep, and now you're on the outside, and let's say it's 5 high. So you check the top 2 rows, because that's where you're going to take the barrels off first. So that's where you assume the bread would be. You don't have to check any more than that. Zion.
Sorry, Rabbi, the storage room for beer. I'm using the beer chametz.
Well, then, let's say...
sell the whole room.
Or maybe there's no more beer. You're finished by the end of Pesach. The beer's gone.
Beer's over.
Right. Okay, Zion. Now, how about the following concern? Maybe a mouse. You know, you don't have little kids, but they had a lot of mice in those days. Maybe a mouse should be concerned. Maybe a mouse took it to this place. So we don't have to worry about mice. You know why? If we're going to worry about one mouse from one house to another, the nachash mir liri, you have to worry from one city to another. There'll never be an ending. So he explains a conversation like this. You know, in other words, it's not possible for every Jew to check all their houses at the same time. In other words, you know, if you're worried already, you figure, I've checked my house, my friend didn't finish checking his house, so there could be a mouse in his house, and the mouse from his house is going to go to my house. If you're going to worry about mice, you're never going to end this story, and you'll never can be sure of anything, because there's always going to be a mouse in a house. So therefore, we don't worry about that if you haven't seen a mouse.
Sounds like a kid's storybook.
Okay, now, but let's say, Baruch Leil Arbasa, let's say you checked on the 14th, and what did you do? You cleaned the whole house, and now you put out those 10 pieces of chametz. And now, Veiniach Eser Chalos, you put out 10 pieces, and of course, what happens? Umatzatesh, you found 9. Now, why haven't you found the 10th?
Because somebody
Zechoshes. Now you gotta be concerned. It's a little-legged creature that probably's been involved. And what would happen then, the Tzorech Livdok Pamshni, you have to check the whole house again.
Second time.
Because you know that 10th piece of bread is somewhere not in its place. Now, it's a choice. It could be anywhere in the house, or maybe he ate it all up. Took it to another house that just got checked, right? So anyway, you don't know. You have to check. He could have just dragged it somewhere else. He has to check a second time. Why? Certainly a weasel or a mouse certainly schlepped it out. And now you have to check. You know, you have to check the whole house again under those circumstances.
Do we have to worry about that today?
Unless you, well.
Yeah, you put out 10 and you can only find 9.
No.
Still worry, because you could get it taken for something.
Well, I think nowadays.
Nobody has a weasel.
No, when we first moved into our house in Spring Gate, there was a mouse in the house.
Really?
When we moved in, the people, of course, were very dirty people, like very filthy drunks. And it was terrible. And I remember the first couple of days, you know, we were hearing these noises and then what was going on. And then one night my wife came and she saw the mouse. That was it. We called the pesticide company. They put all the pesticides and within 3 days they were gone. But, you know, it could happen. It could happen. Okay, now, Ches. Let's say you see a mouse coming into your house with a piece of bread in his mouth. His mouth is like these cartoons, right? After you just finished checking the house, you just said Kol Chamira.
This is bad.
Okay,
this
and now look, Mickey is coming right through the, running across the hallway, and he made it upstairs, and there's a piece of bread.
Bad news.
So what do you got to do?
Leave the
problem. You got to check another time because you know for this where you saw the mouse bring the food in. You got to check another time. And let's see you look, and now you see in the hallway there's some crumbs. Oh, crumbs. So what might you want to say, which we're not going to let you say, ain't omering, we don't let you say, he probably ate up all the bread, and these were the crumbs that were left.
Rather.
We don't say that. We say he probably hid them in a hole or by a window, right? But we don't have to check the holes and the crevices. That we already don't make you go that crazy. But you got to check. What about the crumbs? And these are crumbs are over there. That was from before. I mean, they could have been before because you know they have a rule about mice that mice don't crumb their food. In other words, a mouse doesn't leave anything. He takes it all. No crumbs. So if there are crumbs, you assume that you didn't do such a good bedika, and there were some crumbs somehow from that we left over or whatever, and the mouse doesn't leave crumbs, and you gotta look. Therefore he has to again and check again. Now what in Lo Masukum, what if he didn't find anything? Then I raise a bodek kolabai. So you gotta check the whole house. But if you do find a piece of bread, we assume that's the piece of bread that he brought, and you caught the bread that was there. So again, if you see the mouse there, you gotta look till you find it. That's it. And if you didn't find it, you gotta keep looking and looking and looking. And if you've checked the whole house and it's all gone, then I guess we have to assume he ate it. But if you find the piece of bread, that's good. Because then we assume that's exactly what the mouse bread, you don't have to check anymore. You say, oh, I gotta check the whole house. Guess what? You found the piece of bread in the first room you looked. We'll assume that, because remember, you already did check the house. Yeah. So you assume that the mouse put that over there. Okay, now we're leaving mice and we're going to little babies. Halacha tes. Now, babies act differently than mice. Let's say you had a checked house and you see a little baby running into the house with a nice loaf of bread.
Oh, no.
You start running after the kid and look what you see. You see crumbs all over. Right? Now, it's not enough crumbs to be the size of the loaf of bread that you saw. Still, ain't a chart with it. You don't got to check anymore. But what do we assume? We assume the kid ate the bread. And these are the crumbs that fell from the time of eating. Here's the difference. A child normally crumbs food when he eats it, and a mouse eats nicer than a kid and doesn't crumb any food. And what if you don't find any crumbs? Then tzarach legal, you gotta check. Because if he ate it, it would have crumbed. And since you don't see any crumbs, that means he didn't eat it. If he didn't eat it, what's going on? He probably put it somewhere. He's put it in a stash. And you gotta find it.
So the parents should tell your baby, eat like a mouse.
That's right. Halacha test is a very difficult halacha coming up here. And we're gonna explain it, and Shelly's not gonna like it.
No.
I already know which things he's not gonna like, because it goes against counterintuitive. You're gonna see. It's okay. He loves Torah, so he asks questions. Yud is one halacha. Yud will be in contradistinction to it. Anyway, hiniach tishat ziburim shel matzah v'echesh shel chametz. Let's say you had the house checked and you left over when you finished, and you had 9 piles of matzah and 1 pile of chametz.
Another way.
I said
9 piles of chametz.
No, we have t-shirts.
9 of matzah.
And we have 1 of chametz. What does it say in English?
This is 9 piles of chametz and 1 of matzah.
The reverse in English.
Okay, let's look in your Hebrew, in your text.
In Hebrew,
no, it's like yours.
Yeah, no, 1 chametz.
One chametz. 9 of matzah.
Yeah,
that's what it
says. The translator.
The English is wrong.
Oh, the English is wrong. So, make a correction.
Send a note to the letter to the editor.
Okay, anyway. Okay, so again, let's say 9 piles of matzah. That's going to be the matzah you're going to eat for the Seder, let's say. Okay? And 1 of chametz. Now, in those days, the chametz and matzah didn't necessarily look much different. Remember, you could eat, I bought 1 year Sephardi matzah. Shmura matzah, Sephardi matzah, which was like 3 pieces of pita bread, $25 for 3, but I just wanted the one time to eat like a Sephardi. That looks exactly like chametz.
It does.
Exactly like chametz.
I had it once too.
You can get, I think, from the wine guy.
Yeah, the Simcha.
Simcha wines.
Soft?
Yeah, soft.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, why can't you make a loaf of bread? Couldn't a loaf of bread be matzah? Yeah, a loaf of bread that goes in the oven for 30 seconds and it's done. As long as you knead it and fast for 18 minutes, why couldn't it be?
Yeah.
You look at these old, the Sfardim, the real old Sfardim. They got the really huge loaf of breads for the matzahs. This mamash looks like a piece of chametz. Right? That's a good old fashioned way.
Take my order to so the loaf.
So the point is, the point I'm making here is that the chametz, you're going to ask a question, couldn't you tell the chametz from the matzah? No, the chametz could look exactly like the matzah in those days, especially the Rambam lived in the Sephardi places. Now we say, what do you mean, a piece of bread and a matzah looks different, what's your question? But here's your pile of matzah, 9 of them, and 1 of matzah. So now, anyway, what happens now? Uba achbar v'notal. Comes along that mouse again, and he goes and he takes 1. Okay, now, very important, the Mishmer says that this is only when you actually saw the mouse take. Very important. If nobody saw the mouse, then we go with the previous laws. But no, we know we saw a mouse take 1, but here's the problem. You don't know what he took. Was it a matzah or was it a chametz? Now, even you don't know. You saw him walking, you had 9 and 1. Now you see he's walking right from that area with 1 in his mouth.
But if he only had 1 in the other, if he took that one, there'd be nothing left in that pile. So he must take.
But you
pile.
Don't.
There's a pile of many.
But let's say they're mixed.
The time roof went over.
So that one.
And then they got mixed up.
That one.
You have no way of
one piece of.
They're not discernible one from the other. That's why I made that point to begin with. But you had a pile. But the mouse smashed into the pile. The mouse jumped.
That's what I wanted.
There's many breads in the one pile. There's many laffas, we'll say, in one
no,
pile.
No, but even simpler. The mouse could knock them all off and mix them up.
Right, but he wants to know there's more than one in each pile. That's what I'm saying. So if he takes one away, then there's no pile.
Is the pile of chametz just one piece of chametz?
No,
a pile
it's many pieces of chametz.
He took something from one of the piles.
He took a pile.
It's a pile means more than one piece.
Whatever. He took a piece from one pile.
Yep.
Yeah. Here's a pile of matzah. Here's a pile of matzah. Here's a pile. Here's a pile. Here's a pile. And there's ten. And there's lots of matzahs and all over. What do we know? Let's say there's 100 pieces here, and there's 90 from nine piles and 10 from another. And you don't have an exact count. You know, it's not like, oh, why don't you go back and see which ones? You don't know. One had 8. One had 10. One had 12. It's piles. Piles on a specific number. You know, he took one from the piles. And you won't know which pile was taken from.
Right.
But he definitely took either from a pile of matzah, which was nine, or one from a chametz. Now you would think, mathematically, well, the mathematical probability is 9 to 1.
He
probably took from the majority, probably took a matzah. That's what you would want to say, but that's not the halacha.
Can't do that.
The halacha is, when thou sorach livdok, you have to check the whole house, and here is the golden rule. Kol hakavua, anything that's in a specific place, and it was taken from the area of the specific place, kemechza al mechza, it is halachically considered like 50-50.
Whoa.
This is a very important Gemara in Pesachim, where the source for that, which your book has it all, it says if there's, let's say, nine, you have a street, a strip of butcher stores on a street, and nine butcher shops sell only kosher meat, and one butcher shop only sells treif meat, right? And let's say somebody takes a piece of meat from one of the shops and didn't know which one he took at all, and now he's taking it out. Okay? He doesn't know. So he has to, well, how did you eat that piece of meat? It's in doubt, and you cannot eat it. It's a 50-50.
Yeah.
Why? Because since it's from the same spot, you're going to see in the next halacha a contradistinction case. But in other words, where everything was in one spot, and now it was from that one spot, and now we're analyzing what was taken from that spot. So that's the rule. Kol kavua kemechzal mechzadami. Anything from an established area, we consider that it's like a 50-50 chance. Now it's different than other halachas.
Yes.
One drop of milk falls into meat, then we know it's more than that. It nullifies it. That's, you don't have that here. It's one whole one. What is that one? It's either completely chametz, completely matzah.
Right.
It's either completely treif, completely kosher. So the halacha is, if it's all in one area, and the question is what came out of the area,
50-50.
The rule is it's looked at as a 50-50 case. That's the halacha. As much as our understanding may say not, says no, since it's in an established place, at that point we assume that it's an equal chance. Tomorrow's Wednesday, we'll learn the next set of halachas where you see it with one little nuance will change the halacha of that.
We learn also the different laws that if you find a piece of meat in a Jewish town, you assume it's kosher.
Well, that's going to be different. There's different rules, and we'll see from the next halacha.
Instead of saying 50-50, couldn't you just say